Welcome back to the Infinitely More podcast. Today, I'm super excited for this episode where we're going to get to talk about something a little bit different. Here at Grace, we believe in having ministry partners, and one of our biggest ministry partners is Momentum Ministry Partners. And so today, I have Senior Pastor Jeff Bogue and the President of Momentum sitting with me. I also have Vice President Donnie Varney with me, and then Pastor of Student Ministries at our Medina East Campus, DJ Douglas, with us. My name is Nick Wiersbicki. I'm an intern here at Grace, and we're going to get to discuss a little bit about what happened at Momentum Youth Conference just 2 weeks ago, and what the Lord has been doing and how he's been using it, where Momentum's going in the future. Like, there's big updates around Bowling Green, and how's that going to work, and where is the Lord leading Momentum Ministry Partners? And DJ is going to get to talk a little bit about why this matters so much to kids, why it matters to the parents, why it matters to anyone that's involved with this type of ministry. And so I really encourage you to stick around through the whole conversation so you get the full scope of what the Lord is already doing and what he's going to continue to do. So I'm going to open it up by asking, you know, Jeff and Donnie, if you guys can just give me a little bit of a summary of what happened 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, so 2 weeks ago, Momentum Ministry Partners is an organization that does a bunch of things, from training pastors to sports ministry to youth ministry, et cetera. And I'll let Donnie fill you in on all that. But we would have had our youth conference. Mm-hmm. So Momentum Ministry Partners has a youth conference that we just call Momentum. Yeah. And we had that three weeks ago. We gathered together. I think there was 2,800 people total that would have gathered for that. And it is one of the richest, most impactful events I've ever been a part of. I've been a part of the youth conference for, I think, 34, 35 summers now.
Wow.
And I've just seen God use that environment to affect and change people's lives. Students primarily, but also adults, again and again and again. So God did that again here in 2026. If I was going to throw numbers at you, I would tell you that we had about 550, give or take, teenagers accept Christ.
Wow.
So one of the big myths about Momentum Youth Conference is that it's a Christian-only conference. Mm-hmm. So I love that the teenagers that are a part of that from 33 states and I think four different countries, they view it missionally. Mm. And so they will often bring their unbelieving friends with them. And so about 550, give or take, accepted Christ. We had about 125, give or take, students make commitments to full-time missions, cross-cultural missions. About 150, give or take, students make commitments to full-time pastoral ministry or church ministry. And then about 500 students, give or take, commit to what we call missional marketplace leadership. And, wow. And there's definitions behind all that. So real commitments, real change. Saw students wrestle with forgiveness. Saw them wrestle with purity, mm-hmm. all these incredible things. It is literally beyond words. I don't have a way to describe how God works, but he works and changes lives in very, very powerful ways. These are young people. Mm-hmm. Their experiences are real. Mm-hmm. They're authentic, and they're purposely in an insulated environment. Mm-hmm. So we're pulling them out of the fast paces of their everyday life. We are putting them in an environment where they go to two teaching sessions, big ones a day. They go to small teaching sessions called Power Tracks every day. They're with their youth group every day. Like, so it's an insulated environment. But at their place or where they are in life and in their walk with God, they're making real memorable decisions, and we would have adults around us, pastors, missionaries, normal like people involved in the church around us all over the place that would say that the turning point of the beginning point of their relationship with Christ was Momentum Youth Conference. So wow. It is a little taste of heaven. It is a blast. The worship, the commitments, the teaching is literally world class. Mm-hmm. And God shows up, and he did that again this year. So it's we're all still on cloud nine from what the Lord did.
That's fantastic. Donnie, you have any thoughts to add?
Just to add to it, I don't have, you know, 34 years with youth conference, but I've been in ministry for 25 years, and one of the big draws for me, even being a part of Momentum, is Jeff's right that you can't really put words to what that youth conference in particular, what it represents. The two words I've been using are unforgettable and supernatural. So I got to hang out with a couple hundred different, you know, youth leaders and volunteers throughout the week. And it's amazing how many of them, it's not their first year they've been doing it. It's not even their first decade being a part of it. It's dozens and dozens have been a part of this for decades and decades. And the reason they keep coming back is they were a part of Momentum, you know, decades ago. And they still are on cloud nine.
Yeah.
And they still want to experience and be a part of this supernatural life change that happens. So the way I've been trying to describe it, parents will get this. You kind of invest all of this time and energy into your kids. You feel like you've told them a million times what you know, want to impart to them. And sure enough, somebody else ends up saying pretty much the exact same thing. Yeah. And that's kind of where it clicks for them. And as a parent, you're celebrating it. You're like, you don't actually need the credit or need it to come from you. You're just grateful that somewhere along the way they get it. And I think Momentum Youth Conference represents that for a lot of youth leaders and for churches that have poured their lives into these students. And for whatever reason, we kind of come in at youth conference, sort of say the same thing that's probably been instilled in many of them over and over again, but God uses it in powerful ways. Sometimes for the first time, and then sometimes it's for like the 100th time that they hear it. But either way, it's cool to be a part of. So it's awesome.
The name of our organization is Momentum Ministry Partners, and the partner word is a really big deal to us. And we partner with parents, we partner with churches. That event is not about us.
Yeah.
It's about us being an environment to facilitate everything that people do, parents and churches do every day. And so it is what Donnie's saying is so true, and it brings us a unique joy that we get entrusted with being a part of it. But what it sends people home with is a real taste and a real faith and a real change, and it's fun to come along beside everybody. So we are not the heroes of it. We are the facilitators of it. We really believe that we take a servant role to the church and a servant role to the family. I think that's maybe part of why God keeps blessing, is because he's like, the church and the family are the big deal. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The youth conference is a big event.
Yeah.
And I think when you put that stuff in its place, God works through it because it's all flowing back to where it actually needs to anchor. 100%. It's fun.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was super excited for this episode and still am, obviously. And because personally, like, I was a student last year attending Momentum, and it was just like, I went for 2 years, and I would credit a lot of the reason I'm in ministry as early as I am right now is because of what happened there. Mm-hmm. And I think what Jeff said of like taking them out of their fast-paced lives and giving them a moment to just pause and actually like hear the Lord for a second is something that we overlook. And as a student, I can just attest. I'm like, it's been a life change, and the Lord just uses it in ways that could never expect. And so, DJ, I want to ask you, just highlight for me a little bit of how you saw the Lord use this week for your kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love how you said that Momentum. It's a resource. It's one of the things that Momentum Ministry Partners provides. So you have to go into it asking, how do you leverage everything that Momentum Youth Conference is, right? There's work that you have to do beforehand, during, and then after. So at Medina, we're extremely intentional of how do you prepare for Momentum. So we actually move all of our students up. Like we call it Make the Shift. At the beginning of July, we welcome up our eighth graders into our high school ministry. And then we get grades and leaders established before we go to Momentum. So that way, when they're there, they're starting the school year there, versus if you end the school year with Momentum, it has a tendency to kind of be viewed as like just a big celebration, a big party. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we want to leverage everything that Momentum does, mm-hmm. what that youth conference does, to start the year and then run from there. So we have an unbelievable group of leaders, and interns, the adult volunteers, just students, former students that were in the ministry that have just bought in, that have committed, I want to lead this group of students intentionally this next year. And so we make sure that we get them to Momentum. So the community aspect is incredible. So when you're at Momentum, from the moment we leave to the moment we get back, you have 144 hours to spend with your students. And so it's leaders with the leaders or students with students. But that's 144 hours. That is the equivalent to about a year and 4 months, up to, depending on how long your Wednesday night service is, like a year and 10 months of time in 1 week. And so when you're intentional with placing the right leaders with the right students and you put them in community, mm-hmm. and then when you're, whether it's the power tracks or whether it's the worship or whether it's the teachings, that community is like, it's built together. Mm-hmm. And then out of that community, it is awesome to see the family that's built. Mm-hmm. But then when you're there, it's the confession that mm-hmm. comes out from the students. Mm-hmm. So it's typically Wednesday night, mm-hmm. right? By that point, Grace students had been there. We get there Monday night and then they're Tuesday. So it's, you know, there's something pretty awesome about that third day, right? So that third, or if you get Clayton King to speak,
or just get Clayton to speak whenever.
Yeah, it's that. That's helpful. Right. But after that third night, the stuff that students just confess, and that gets off their chest, you'd mentioned it multiple times, Jeff, it breaks your heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It just breaks your heart because, you know, 2 weeks before we were at an Ehrman Center, we're in mm-hmm. Philly, mm-hmm. and some of the students there, it would just blow you away what they're capable of doing. Just loving and serving people and just doing phenomenal stuff. And then confession stuff comes out. And the stuff that they've experienced, the stuff that that they've had done to them, it's devastating. But it's the beginning of healing. Mm-hmm. That because you've got that community that's already being built, they've got leaders that they can open up to. They've got friends or peers that they can open up to. And then the healing can start. And then it really opens up the door to the when they come home, or your the last message is like you're commissioned now mm-hmm. to go home.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when you see the 500 students, or when you see the, I don't know how many, everybody went down for Clayton's, you know, speech or the altar call. When you see, you know, your students go down there, or more importantly, when the friends see their friends that they brought that didn't know Jesus.
Yep.
They're like that just moves them in a way. They're like, this can't be it. One more. I got to go home and get my more friends.
And oftentimes it's the first time they've tasted that. Like it's impossible to describe how wonderful it is to see someone whose soul you've been contending for
mm-hmm.
yield to Christ. And when kids see that, like you just said, they're like, oh, I'm in on this mm-hmm. because it's just the greatest thing in the world. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because the sin, it stops them. It prevents them from doing that. But then when they see, wait a minute, even like God's grace is enough for me. And when I get the confession stuff out, now I can see that God has invited me to, I can do this because my story is enough. Mm-hmm. And then it really gets your upperclassmen. Maybe you've got students that have been there for 3 or 4 years and they're like, it's the worship and it's the teachings. But their life has changed when they start to have compassion for the lost.
Yeah.
And then they mm-hmm. that really leads to when they come home. How do you as a youth pastor then, how do you leverage everything that just happened to now come home and you commission them to their to their schools or to their work or their families? They're really bought in. And so
I don't know how to fully put words in this, but it is a truly, for all the right reasons, a safe environment for these students, a safe and supportive environment. I think usually the larger a group gets, the likelihood that it's going to remain a safe and supportive environment for mm-hmm. life change, for confession, I think you have a lot going against you, but I think it's one of those unique environments where students really get a taste of that and a sense of that, and it inspires them to do more of that moving forward, which I think is another cool aspect of the conference.
That's fantastic. Donnie, I would just like for you to share a little bit, like the Lord has led you to Momentum. So if you could share a little bit of what you were doing before you were at Momentum, so the Lord has led you here now, and what you're seeing the Lord lead you into in this next step.
Yeah, well, I've been in what we might call, you know, full-time vocational ministry for, you know, 22 years, as a youth pastor for 9 years. I was a student life director at a Bible college for a couple of years, and then in 2014, through a lot of connections, became the sports ministry pastor here at Grace Church in Akron. So I've been working closely with Jeff now for 12 years and loved every minute of it. That's probably a lie. I'm sure there were a few minutes worth.
I remember a few minutes.
But overall, it's been amazing, and I've loved it. But from a stewardship, I guess, of my life and what I have just continued to, I lean on God for what He may or may not be stirring in me. I shared with Jeff a few years ago how, despite the fact that I feel like almost every ministry dream of mine has come true as the sports ministry pastor at Grace Church, I was slowly dying inside. And it wasn't because I didn't believe in what we were doing. I just felt like maybe my mission for what I was doing was coming to a close. So I shared that with Jeff, and we talked for probably a good 6 months, and Momentum came up along the way. And it just seemed like a, you know, for some of the things that Jeff was looking for with Momentum and kind of what I was looking for, Jeff's words would be like, Donnie, you don't need another mountain to climb. You need a mountain range, and Momentum could be your mountain range. So said yes to that. And it, you know, every minute has been wonderful, every single minute. Once again, probably not actually fully true, but it's also been great, yeah.
That's awesome. And so now that you're in this role, what gets you excited? What do you think the Lord has, like, put on your heart, and where do you think Momentum is going over these next 3 to 5 years?
Well, I have, I'm not going to share this whole poem, but I sometimes write poems to, like, help formalize in my mind, and the first few lines of this poem summarize what drew me to Momentum and where I see it going. So it goes like this: to all my friends who know me well, you aren't surprised I'm about to tell a story to you in poetry style. Your friendship deserves this extra mile. My story is simple. I changed my job. No need to rejoice. No need to sob. The ministry life is all I've known. While highly fulfilling, it's been my comfort zone. Churches, schools, colleges, and teams. I've spent over 22 years living these ministry dreams. And while that chapter's come to a close, my passion for ministry only grows. So I began to ask God what I'm supposed to do. It was honestly that simple, and of course He came through. So I deliberately left what to me felt very secure for something that felt scary. This is Momentum, but a purpose I felt was pure. And so what really drew me to Momentum is a pure.
It's pretty good, man.
That's only a fourth of it, but we don't have time.
Yeah, oh my goodness.
Yeah, don't worry about that.
It's a great poem.
the purpose being pure is what led me there, though, and that's the best word I could use. Other people that have now experienced Momentum, I've talked to a lot of them, they'll use words like, just there's just some type of goodness that I can't find anywhere else. I had a fairly, you know, gracious donor who's seen a lot in life, and they were able to, you know, be a part of this year's youth conference, and goodness was the word that came from him. He's like, I've seen a lot in life, but nothing really compares to what I got to see at youth conference. And I saw it before I was able to take the job. And the youth conference is just a taste. Like Jeff said, there's a lot of other expressions of Momentum that we do, and there's other things to come. But that's what really drew me in. And the way I'm wired, and this is where my prayers that God will use me, is I know I'm competitive, maybe to a fault, and I'm kind of driven sometimes to a fault. And I really want my life to be used with whatever those gifts are towards something that is a purpose that's pure.
Yeah.
And so I don't want to just grow anything just to grow it. I want to grow something if it's, like, supposed to grow, and it would be like a good kingdom impact if it grew. And I think Momentum is kind of at the top of the list of things that I see as that. So I just feel grateful to at least take a take a shot at that and grow momentum for all the right reasons and keep that purity in mind as we grow.
Yeah,
that's awesome. Jeff, as a senior pastor of Grace Church and being the president, you're a very, very busy man.
Yes, I am.
And but you choose to invest deeply into momentum.
Yeah.
Can I just hear a little bit of your heart behind why you choose to do that?
Momentum, the ministry, has had an enormous impact on me as well. I didn't come into the circles of Momentum until I was an adult, until I was a pastor, actually. My first youth conference, I was the youth pastor that took kids to the youth conference. And in fact, it's actually, I started wearing facial hair because Heidi and I got yelled at for being in the same dorm and we were married. So I'm like, I was that young. They thought I was one of the kids of Momentum. So I had an enormous impact on my life. And Ed Lewis at the time was leading Momentum, had an enormous impact on my life. The DNA of Grace Church has been deeply affected by Momentum.
Wow.
And we wouldn't necessarily know that. But when I say things like lead with evangelism, when we would come up with ideas like pray for your three, the whole idea that you would love the lost and you can't be a fully devoted disciple unless you have a passion for the lost. On and on and on and on and on. I could trace it back to trainings, environments that Momentum would have exposed me to that became the hardwiring, DNA hardwiring of my ministry philosophy. And then I translated into the philosophies of Grace Church. So the youth conference, if a Grace Church person went to the youth conference and they went to a Grace Church weekend service, they would be like, oh, this is a lot alike. This is just for teenagers and this is for adults. I'm like, right, because we would have brought over the years all of that and just woven it into the way that we do things. So that's a big part of it. I then have taken, I was a youth pastor too, is how I started here at Grace. I was the Norton campus youth pastor, was my first job here. And then over the years, we've taken thousands of kids to youth conference, and I've seen God work in their life in a powerful way. There's an environment that's there. Pastor Tony would have accepted Christ there. Pastor Josiah Bogue would have accepted Christ there. I could go on and on. There's thousands of kids that would look and say, that was the spark of the beginning of my relationship with Jesus. So I saw this environment work. And it's not the music and the lights. It is whatever. I love the way you were talking about that, Donnie. It's this goodness. I think Grace Church is like this. There's no mixed motive at Grace Church.
Yeah.
Like, we're just trying to make Jesus make sense. We're not trying to be big. We're not trying to show off. We're not trying to franchise ourselves. We're just like, what's the next thing that God wants us to tackle? And that's kind of all that it is.
Yeah.
And Momentum's that way. Yeah. Momentum's like, what's the next way that we can make Jesus make sense? And what's the next way that we can partner with churches? Because as a parachurch, we can do things churches can't do, like put on a big youth conference. And so there is like a purity to it.
Yeah.
Like, as far as motive, we're not trying to get customers. We're not trying to sell you stuff. We're just like trying to genuinely partner. And I think that's why churches have trusted Momentum over the years. So that has been my heart for it. When there was a leadership transition, the reason I stepped in to be the president was not because I needed another set of responsibilities. I stepped in because I saw that could all go away. And that the youth conference itself, if it ever stopped and you started it from scratch, you couldn't do it. The money, the people with decades of love, everything we do there is mostly volunteer. Momentum doesn't have a ton of employees. Yeah. It's mostly volunteer. So like, I'm like, that can't go away because God keeps using it. And then the urban centers and the way that we train pastors and then the all that kind of stuff, I'm like, that can't go away. It doesn't exist anywhere. So I stepped in and I felt called to step in. When I did it, I told the board, I said, my dream job is Grace Church, and that's where I asked the Lord to let me die. And Grace Church will always take priority. You just have to know that. But I'll throw everything I got at this thing to keep it moving. And then we did. COVID happened in there. So that there's a whole story of just God's faithfulness. Most organizations like Momentum closed during COVID. And God sustained us supernaturally. I could tell you stories all day.
Yeah.
Just supernaturally what God did. So we came out of that. Then Donnie and I were talking, and I was like, and I trust Donnie implicitly. Like he said, we worked together for 12 years. We know each other very well. And I know what he's capable of. And when he first started talking about things here at Grace, we were just talking as like pastors, you know, and friends. And I'm like, Donnie, you need a place where you can run for the rest of your life. You don't need another project. That's where that mountain range thing came from. And I'm like, and I need to hand, I will hurt Momentum if I stay in charge of it. Mm-hmm. I need to hand this to somebody who has a vision for it, can run with it. Maybe the Lord is bringing us into sync with each other. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what has happened. And so this organization with this unique DNA deeply impacted my life and my family. And I think through Donnie's leadership, it will continue for decades to do that.
Yeah.
And we are unabashedly a servant to the local church.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we're always looking for ways to serve them, and that's Donnie's DNA and his heart and his passion too.
That's awesome. As we're looking towards the future, one thing that was announced at the end of Momentum Youth Conference was the moving from Iwu to Bowling Green next mm-hmm. year. Do you guys have maybe anything you want to talk about, or what made that move, or were you guys hoping to have in that transition or change? Is there any hopes and dreams that come out of that?
I'll start. I'm sure Jeff will have some thoughts on that. But you know, the youth conference has been a flagship program, if you want to call it that, for over 80 years, and if you've been a part of youth conference, this is not going to come as a shock, but we're like out of room where we're at. at Iowa.
You don't
so
say.
600, yeah. 600 air mattresses later, yeah. We're like, we have to figure out something.
Yeah.
So it was really more, pragmatic and practical than any kind of like a spiritual decision, so to say. But also then strategically looking at the future, a prayer that we would have is, and it's a future visionary statement over the next 3 to 5 years is this idea of making room for more. So we've been saying that over and over again. And Bowling Green allows us to do that. So mm-hmm. it's not that this would happen overnight. It might take a long time to get there, but we could double the capacity of, wow. of youth conference there at Bowling Green over mm-hmm. the course of time. And so that's terrifying and exciting all at the same time. And I think we're aware of the challenges to actually do that, but our heartbeat is to do whatever we can to serve as many churches as possible, and so that at least gives us that opportunity to do that. So pretty excited to be doing that.
Yeah, that's we used to move every year. So setting up at Indiana Wesleyan University for a long time is actually the exception, not
wow.
the rule.
Okay.
They've been great mm-hmm. to work with. What's facilitating this is we literally don't have space, and so we want to keep growing. And I want every church that needs and wants to work with Momentum to have access to us as a ministry, and then the youth conference. Momentum Ministry Partners is such a strong partner of Grace Church that where Momentum starts and stops is almost blurry sometimes. Yeah. Because we would train our pastors through, like DJ would be a part of Momentum Pro, and mm-hmm. like we'd train our pastors through Momentum. Thousands of kids over the years have gone to our urban centers. Mm-hmm. Donnie is launching Momentum Sports. The DNA of that is Grace Church's sports ministry mm-hmm. being put out on a national level so that other churches can use sports the way that God has used sports here. So Momentum is amplifying Grace Church's ministry, and now Grace Church is also getting to amplify mm-hmm. Momentum's ministry. We don't own the ministry. Yeah. It's not ours. We don't control it. We just want to see God work through it. And like DJ's talking about, it winds up being that 15-year-old kid sitting in our youth group.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That accepted Jesus or got a passion to reach their school, so they started a Bible study,
mm-hmm.
Or is going through. I tell you, man, it melts me. Like when these kids, like, we did a session on forgiveness, we did a session on the confession of sin, and I mean, it melts me. Like the burdens these kids carry breaks my heart. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's a partnership where like we get to be a part of that, but it's DJ and the U staff at Medina that carries the weight.
Yeah.
But we help them break the ice.
Yeah.
And it's just this, I think it's the way the kingdom of God's supposed to work.
Yeah.
You know? And so it's just a neat thing. But it is Momentum's been a part of Grace Church. Grace Church has been a part of Momentum. I think part of that goodness or that focus is it is that kid and their pain and what God is doing in their life. It's not how do we get 20,000 people in a stadium.
Right.
It's that mm-hmm. kid. How do we get yep. that kid engaged with the loving adults from their church where they will go back to God's plan for them, which is the local church, and how can we help that? So we don't want to mess that up,
yeah.
and we don't want to hoard it.
Yeah.
So you want it to grow,
yeah.
and people have asked me, is it going to be like passion? I'm like, no, that's not who we are, what we're like. But we literally had to not let some people come this year for like fire code reasons,
yeah.
you yeah. know, and like we want to get away from that. And the new programs and stuff like that, that Donnie's working on, and the training we do for full-time vocational workers, that's all to spread the impact of the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
And God uses that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You said, specifically talk about Jim Brown and his message on
yeah.
forgiveness. He had a line that was, don't let another person's sin become your prison. So when someone sins against you, and you can tend to hold on to that, and
yeah.
and there's the bitterness and there's the grudge that you can hold on to, and then, you know, there's a myriad of reasons that you'd hold on to that. But that one message, that one line, there was a baptism just this past, I mean, there was like 72 baptisms or something at wow. Medina East this past week. But one of them was specific to Jim's message. And she's like, she gave her life to Jesus. And they were a whole, one of the big parts of that she was not ready to give her life to Jesus was about forgiveness.
Mm.
And in that moment, for her to hear that, for there to be a leader there to help process what that looks like to forgive, because Jesus has lavished his grace and mercy upon you and he's forgiven you, I don't have an option anymore, right? How many times do we hear it's easy to accept Jesus, it's really hard to follow Jesus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that process of following him, she realized, is actually my first step of obedience right now is I gotta let that go. I gotta forgive.
Wow.
It was an unbelievably powerful story, but to hear that level of teaching, as a youth pastor, why I love coming to Momentum is there's so many times where I'm sitting down at my desk, I'm like, what is next? And you have to come up with ideas. But when you have momentum, whether it's an urban center or whether it's the conference, they just help the local youth pastor. Like, how do I put my students in a position to come to know Jesus better? Yeah. Let's go out to Philly or let's go to LA and like, let's help them just go serve somebody. Like, just go pray with somebody in the streets. And then it builds this confidence that they, I can go on and on about Philly. You know, what Rob and his team are doing out there is unbelievable. But for us to then go to Momentum and just use these as like tools in the tool shed of like, you don't have to come up with all the ideas in yourself. Mm-hmm. You got to figure out how do you become great at being a big church, right? Big church it's hard to shepherd so many people.
Yeah.
But like, it really helps when you're like, let it get them on a missions trip or let them get a Momentum and put great leaders like in front of them and help lead these students mm-hmm. through Momentum or through the urban center. And it just opens up doors for these students. That's just like, man, God, take this student's life and transform their heart. And then it trains them. It really trains them to like share the gospel with their mm-hmm. friends, right? Like their heart is changed. And then it's like, all right, now they get to partner with Jesus and truly go change lives, truly go change your schools, your families, you know, at work. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And so as a youth pastor, thank you. Thank you to you guys for, you don't get a lot of sleep. And I see what you guys look like, right, on Friday and Saturday.
No, let me tell you something. The older you get, like, I need a week recovery period after
I made fun of Jeff. I'm like, the first time, I'm like, there's like a couple hours maybe that you can get like in the middle of the day for like possibly like a 30-minute nap.
Yeah.
But in my mind, I'm like, well, you know, you're getting 7-8 hours of sleep at night and then the 30-minute nap, and it's like, no, that might be all you get.
Yeah, that ain't it. So I asked Eric Miller, I'm like, how you doing, bro? I'm like, Saturday. And he just like kind of just looked at me.
Yeah.
And just said, bro.
Yeah.
And then just turned away and walked. Yeah, I was like, okay, that's where he's at. He's in it.
So. You're on a teenager schedule, so it's usually like you sleep from like 1:30 a.m. till maybe 6 a.m.
Yeah.
And then you try to take a nap in the afternoon. Like,
yeah,
it takes me about 2 weeks now to get back on schedule because yeah. I'm just like so messed up. But it's all worth it.
It is.
Yeah. I'll say there was one moment this year that I got keys to a car that you don't very often get as a youth pastor. Mm. They did a dodgeball tournament, and there's two brackets. There's the student bracket, right? Mm-hmm. And then there was a youth worker bracket. And they were like, all right, so, like, you know, youth pastors, are, you know, get your church together, and you guys can, you know, go play dodgeball. So Medina ended up winning, and they were like, you're going to go play the winners, the student winner champion. And I was like, really? You can go all out, and when you see the boys that were playing, I'm like, okay, Lord help us.
I want to drill them with a dodgeball.
Oh, and we won. Yeah, we won. I was like, win one for the old guys. Yeah. But it was awesome. So Momentum's an awesome spot for a lot of reasons.
Yeah.
You don't get the keys to that car very often where you just get to drill kids with dodgeball. So one of the many highlights.
Well, Nick, you were asking about just some of the future growth, and we were talking about youth conference possibly growing, and what I'm hearing, Jeff, and even some of the things that DJ's sharing, I think a guardrail that we have, and it's actually I actually need guardrails badly, otherwise we could take Momentum in probably a pretty unhealthy direction pretty quickly. Yeah. But to the extent that Momentum can support the local church and its leadership, come alongside, obviously partners like in our word and our DNA, as opposed to replace the local mm-hmm. church. I think as long as we can be in that support, help, partner role, is probably the extent to how far we are able and should grow. So awesome. I think that's a part of that purity and all the things that you're celebrating. It's when you talk about those baptisms, we're like, yeah, that's what we're trying to do, but it's back to the mm-hmm. to the local church. So just love that.
Yeah. The people watching this, there could be some kids that went to Momentum. Mm-hmm. There could be parents that are like, what the heck happened? My kid came back different. What happened here? Yeah. And then there could be some of our pastors here at Grace or broader than that. What would you guys, you know, Donnie and Jeff, what would you guys say to the kid, to the parents, and maybe to the pastor?
Yeah, I think to the kids, I would say what you experience is authentic and real. Mm-hmm. And I love that. It kind of became a little catchphrase this year at the youth conference. It's easy to accept Jesus, it's hard to follow him. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so as you go back into your normal life, especially as we're getting, you know, we're filming this about the time that school's going to fire up here, that gets real, real, real fast. And we talked about in the last session, you know, the Lord asked, who will I send to these people? Mm-hmm. And the prophet is like, here I am, I'll go. And so that mindset is all that it takes to follow Jesus. Like, I'll do it if you want me to. And so know that God's passion for you is that you become passionate about his bride, his body. So the local church is the most important thing. Momentum is an expression of the kingdom of God, but the church is an expression of the heart of God, so to say.
Yeah.
And so being involved, loving people, serving people, wanting people at your high school, all those kind of things. To parents, you know, I've had six kids be a part of Momentum. Heidi and I have six children. And so I would say to you, what they experience is real and authentic, and they're 15. And so I am 55. I go back and forth on my commitments. I have to get perspective. I decide to make changes, and then I have ugly moments in my life. So that doesn't invalidate my heart or even what I want. It exposes my humanity and sometimes my spiritual maturity. And so you just have to know that, but feed it. Yeah. Feed it. You know, if your kid is like, I feel called to the mission field. Number one reason people don't go to the mission field is their parents' disapproval. Yeah. So feed it. I feel called to ministry. Feed it. I want to lead a Bible study for my football team. Buy the pizza. Open your house. I had kids at my, they're not kids anymore, young adults at my house last night. They're all mid-20s as a group of friends. And they came over and they're like, Pastor, or they call me Mr. Bogue. They're like, Mr. Bogue, we remember being in high school doing Bible studies here and there. Like, they kind of grew up at my house because my children, if my children were trying to reach people, the answer was always yes. And if they're like, hey, we need pizza, the answer is always it'll be on the kitchen island. Mm-hmm. So you facilitate that stuff. And then I would say the same thing to pastors. The Apostle Paul is very specific to Timothy, do not let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set the example in life, love, and speech and purity. And I'm like, all the major revivals of the world were led by young people, and most of the disciples were young people. Most of the Bible heroes, David, Joseph, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were all young, at least when their story started. So let these kids impact your church and hear their stories, and they're kids. That as a pastor, I've put 130-year-olds up that wound up letting me down. So don't look and say, well, they're teenagers. They're going to let, well, they, maybe they will, but they might not. And it may have a big impact. So just let it be all those things. And I'll say this, if our campus pastors, but any senior pastor listening, hardest job on the team is youth pastor, bar none. So you got to get behind your youth guys because they're, I was a youth guy, Donnie was a youth guy. What DJ's doing is 10x as hard as what I was doing. 10x. Different world, different foundation. I pastored in the 90s, you probably pastored in the early 2000s, Donnie. In the 90s, there was still strains of a biblical outlook in our culture. Mm-hmm. That was youth pastoring a little bit before social media hit.
Yeah.
What DJ's dealing with, mm-hmm. it outside of like kids like pizza, there's not these volunteer life group leaders, what they're doing. I had a long conversation with one yesterday. He came to a Bible study I led. We just wound up talking in the parking lot. 10x what I was dealing with, sexual identity, sexual issues, So we got to get behind. These guys are frontline. It's hard. They have to be experts in children and experts in parenting. Mm-hmm. And they stand in between that. And then they somehow have to make that make sense to the rest of the church.
Yeah.
In a very confused world.
Yeah.
I would say stand with these guys and pray for Grace Church family. Pray for our youth guys. That they're getting the bulk of it, and it starts in junior high.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, and a lot of the mistakes, and then it goes through high school, and then right after you're done praying for them, pray for the young adult leaders. It's a crazy world. And at Grace Church, God's doing amazing things in that world, but we've got quality people like DJ and our other team. I mean, God's given us world-class guys in that place.
Mm-hmm.
But we value partnerships. You said that, Nick. Good job. That's one of the eight values. The other ones is we value children and youth.
Yep.
And so this is who we are as a church, and I think God has blessed that.
Awesome. Yeah. I appreciate you saying that a lot. But I would say two things, whether you're the local youth pastor out there that's in it alone and you're looking for volunteers. I will say, one, the people that you're looking for to serve in your ministry, they're people that are truly going to fight for the next generation. So what that looks like is I tell it as you John 15 your life, as you abide in Jesus and as you remain in him, he remains in you, you're going to have a natural outpouring of like, how do I serve Jesus? And if that, how do I want to serve Jesus, is I want to serve students, that's probably a good indication you should get into student ministry, because the people that you're looking for are people that are going to be able to say, yeah, they're kids, like they could be mean. Like they're going to be lost. They're going to do really dumb things, but you have to be able to see or speak to like the 30-year-old in that 13-year-old.
Yeah.
So what do I mean by that? That's is when good. that 13-year-old is 30 or 23 and they look back, they're like, wow, I didn't understand it then, but I understand it now. Mm-hmm. And there's a God that loves me, and there's a guy that loved me back then. I got to go back.
Yeah.
And so you're looking for people that are going to, they're going to give you a million reasons for you to not serve in ministry.
Yeah.
But as you John 15 your life, and you're like, I want to fight for them. I'm going to fight for them.
Yeah.
Go get those guys.
Yeah.
And then number two, it's also can be scary in the sense of, I don't know enough. Maybe you're a little bit older, or you're just like, I don't understand the culture. And so it's much easier for me to go serve somewhere else. When I was first asked to step into student ministry in 2021, I was a little nervous. So I got up to our Wednesday night programming. I was there for a couple weeks. I said yes to it, but I still was like, what am I doing? Mm-hmm. And there's one of the boys, he's probably 16 years old. It was at the end of the night. And I was like, hey buddy, love you. I'll see you next week. And it stopped him. And he turned and he's like, what did you say? And I was like, I love you. I'll see you next week. And he goes, you love me? Mm. I was like, yeah, buddy, I love you. And he goes, man, people don't say that anymore. Thank you. And he started like, I was like, dude, like,
yeah, get
in
cry.
Here.
Yeah.
And like, and I gave him a hug and he was like, thanks, man. And I was like, I'll see you next week. And that's what it takes.
Yeah.
Like it can be scary because you are definitely going to find yourself in situations. You're like, I don't know what you're saying. I don't know why you did that. But man, like if you just love them and you just point them to a God that clearly has loved them, and if you can connect them to that, like a lot of the stuff, it becomes easy. And then you just walk them there. You just walk with them through the mess. You're never going to have the answer to every one of those things. But if you just love on them, I mean, that's half the battle.
Yeah.
So it's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Back to your a question as far as what to, I think that it's not an accident and it's not optional. It's a calculated decision that Momentum made, I mean, decades ago, as far as having the youth leaders and adults at the youth conference. And so it goes back to why we do what we do. But if you're asking the question, what happened to my student and their change and what do we do next, lean into those youth leaders that brought them, because they are just as dialed in, if not more, to that young person's life. So obviously go back to the home and work through that. But those youth leaders that were there, there's a reason why they come to youth conference. And those would be the people I would be telling you to lean into. They're ready and willing and are present and will sacrifice much to, help your son or your daughter through whatever it is that they're, kind of struggling with, or their hearts are in the right spot.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Jeff, you have anything on?
Yeah, I would just say, this is the Infinitely More podcast, and we're the point of this podcast is we're just talking about the ecosystem of Grace Church, and you may or may not know that Momentum's a huge part of that ecosystem, and it affects us deeply. It has for decades. I was not the first one to take youth teenagers to Momentum. I inherited that when I came in 33 years ago. Wow. So you're talking 40, 45 years that Momentum's been a part of Grace Church. When we talk about the Urban Center in Philly, Rob is bivocational. He's full-time with Momentum, and then he is a part-time church planner of one of our affiliate campuses, our affiliate churches. So it's intertwined, and I love Nick. This subject was Nick's idea, which I love, and I think you just see it. You're like, man, our church should know, all this is happening, and it's amazing, and it is happening, and it is amazing, and it affects us all the time. So thank you guys for, all the, as a parent, I have spent a fortune sending my kids to Momentum Youth Conference, and I would have paid quadruple what it cost for the effects in their life. So you guys have supported, you have scholarshiped, you loan out your youth pastors and guys like me to give some attention to this stuff. So you've been unbelievably gracious and generous and loving with all this. And I think I don't want to speak for you, Nick, but I think you're there's a huge return on Grace Church's investment in this. And I think you just kind of want everybody to know about it. So it's absolutely awesome.
Even as I hear you talk, Jeff, I feel like Nick is an example of kind of what we've just been talking about for the past 15 minutes in terms of giving students and young leaders as they're coming through your church opportunities to do things like an Infinitely More podcast. So I this is an example of what we're talking about. Yeah. So pretty cool.
Yeah. I remember just so much. The line that Eric Miller would always say, I'm going to cut the red tape for you. Because and Aaron Key, such a big part of my life, and one of those youth workers, his heartbeat was, he was like, I didn't get the opportunity for people to create opportunity or give me opportunities when I was younger. He had people in his life that sheltered that from him, did not let him pour out his passion for the Lord. And so just the fact of people being able to give young people opportunity and see the value in that is a blessing. And there's a cool moment from Akron East. River shared it in our last podcast, but I'll share it again. One of our kids who's been attending for probably a year-ish decided that she wanted to get baptized while at Momentum. And in that moment, there's a bunch of chaos going, and she turns to her best friend that originally brought her to group and brought her to Momentum and all this stuff, turns to her and says, will you baptize me? And they just start sobbing together. And I just can't, and we baptized them, I think, last week. So it's and then there was five other people from our group, and it's just and now there's a trickle effect. Even the people that didn't attend, they can see something happen there.
Yeah.
So it's beautiful to watch. And for the people of Grace, if you're still listening, this all is a fruit of prayer. I got the privilege as a student to do a power track at Momentum, and I made a claim. I said, a lot of our students came in and were like, this week just feels so different, and I feel so pumped up, and I can just feel the Spirit of God here, and I don't know why I don't always feel this at home. And I'm like, there's people that have been spending a whole year praying for this conference for when you show up. There's a power to that.
Yeah.
And so the power of prayer, you cannot be overlooked. And so here at Grace, obviously we have the 30 and 30 prayer calls where we pray about stuff like this. We pray for our the next generation and what the Lord's doing and where he's going to take us. And so in the description below, this episode will do a little unique. In the description below, we're going to have a few prayer requests from Momentum Ministry partners and ways you guys can be praying for them. And also, I encourage you to join the 30 and 30 prayer calls, which will also be in the description below. And so we would really love for you to engage in that so that you can be a part of this movement that God is already creating and moving. So thank you guys, and we'll see you guys next time.